welcome to Misdone Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I am your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
What is up? A little bit of a later recording, another Patch Potch After Dark coming at ya.
It is. What's so funny about the phrase after dark to me is that when I think of after dark, it's just morning again. Because it's after the dark.
Okay, it's actually really funny that you say that, because what occupies my brain rent-free all the time is that in the movie Gremlins, they say don't feed them after midnight. What qualifies as after midnight? Like, isn't everything technically after midnight?
That's a good question, and I wonder how the Gremlins know what time after midnight is. Like, at what point, when you feed them after midnight, is it okay to feed them again? Like,
right.
Are we talking about daybreak? Are we talking about, like, a specific time?
That is what I am assuming, that it's after midnight, so clock says, you know, midnight onward, but I guess you're bound of what you are stopping at is morning. So yeah, when the sun is out, that is my, I guess, assumption.
Yeah, it's really hard to say what exactly the rules are. I want to know more about the rules of the Gremlins and how they operate.
Yeah,
I need specifics from Universal. Is it Universal?
Well, maybe. I think that's, I would assume that's the thing that I was going to say, is that, like, for being such a dangerous organism, I don't know, I guess is what they are,
yeah,
for being such a dangerous creature,
we're all organisms.
That guy gave it to that kid with very loosey-goosey instructions,
right?
Just don't get wet and don't feed after. I mean, I guess don't get wet is pretty specific, but I mean, like, to what degree? Like, could you take them into a humid environment?
Good question. How wet are we talking?
Yeah, how wet are we talking? What level of wetness?
DC? Like, it's pretty swampy there, so...
Yeah, yeah. Like, can they work up a sweat?
Yeah, that's... these are all really good questions that I would like to have answered.
Can my gremlin work out? Are they allowed to work out? Do I need to prevent them from working out? Do I need to just let them work out, but only, you know, in a cool environment so that so they don't perspirate?
They might be, like... dogs. I mean, they're pretty human-like because they stand up, but they might be like dogs where they only, like, pant, you know?
That's true.
Also,
they,
like, is
fur.
Is it just water, or if they put a Gatorade on them, is that bad?
If I spill a bunch of milk on my gremlin, is he gonna freak out?
For real. I know. I mean, it's hard to say. They didn't really specify that much. I mean, that's also true about, like, the dad as well, of, like, giving him, like... It's like you're giving a kid his son, like a gun, and be like, just don't put bullets in it, but you can play around
with it,
and then eventually, you know, he, like, shoots himself in the leg on accident, so.
Yeah. Classic. Oh, now there's your crossover movie, Christmas Story X Gremlins.
Oh, that'd be, yeah, I could see that. Where
you'll
kids
shoot
both want
your
something
gremlin's
dangerous.
Eye out. Yeah.
I mean, but that's, like, I think that's such a typical thing that you could have written back in, like, the 80s, when I think that the Gremlins came out, whereas you just...
Yeah, I believe,
like,
so.
Just the time where you could, like, let your kids go run around and be like, just be home for supper, and you have no idea what they're doing. Just, like, you know, that certain inherent trust of whatever the children are doing is, like, I don't need to pay attention to it. Like, they're definitely not going to give it, like, feed it after midnight because... I said that, like, easy.
Yeah.
Like, I did my job as a parent.
Yeah.
Exactly. No further parenting needed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, I watch Stranger Things, and that's exactly based off of the 70s/80s, so... Well, I guess it's early 80s into later 80s, so
right.
I know exactly what it's like in that time period.
Yeah. I mean, and now so does all of America, you know? Back when...
Thank
it
you.
Was... It was safe to drink from the hose out in the yard.
Yeah. Thanks, Netflix, for reminding us.
I'm surprised that they didn't put one clip of some kid drinking from a hose.
Right. So with all that said, okay, we forgot to do it last time, but I think it's fine because we had a pretty good long episode. What was the segment that we used? patch it up.
Yeah.
Patch it up.
I was re-listening to our older episodes now that we're back. And I did hear a patch it up. I also thought it was really funny because our episode 23, we recorded last year and we had our guest Alice say, it's 2023, when we clearly released it in 2024. Anyways, let's patch something up here.
All right. You know, of course I brought it up and I had one. I knew I thought of one earlier, but then I couldn't think of it. I couldn't think of it anymore. Or at least as soon as I said that.
The idea of like a board game to fix up?
Yeah, or even just like a rule or something that I would put on top.
I'm gonna suggest Connect Four, except it's not, you don't drop them down, it's just on a flat board.
That's
my suggestion. It's just checkers now.
Well, it's just bigger tic-tac-toe.
I guess it's true. Yeah, that would be bigger tic-tac-toe.
What if? Okay, here we go. What if, because you also said checkers, what if it was like tic-tac-toe and also checkers? You could place pieces wherever you want, but if you wanted to on your turn, you could also jump a piece, effectively getting rid of it, and you could reposition that checker.
That's a pretty good idea. I like that. So you've got a flat board, and you're not putting them all on one side. You're kind of just putting them wherever. But if you do have the opportunity, you can jump someone.
Jump. Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
I put it down in the middle. You put yours down in the middle. I jump you, you know, to go, I guess, further out or whatever on my turn.
Yeah.
But then you put one back in the middle. Now my piece is far enough away that I can't jump you, and you now have the middle. But I guess,
rule, it should be not Connect Four, but whoever can make just the longest line. Or if you're somehow able to get, like, go from end to end. Because I feel like it'd be pretty easy to still connect four if you could really just place your piece anywhere.
True. I'm just trying to think. I guess, yeah, it should be... This might be... Oh, what if it was actually, like... Yeah, I guess you could do two people, and it would just be consecutive line or most consecutive pieces. Because I'm almost imagining... People would probably have different strategies where they would have like X's because you can only jump them from the middle inward, or you would have people would build like squares essentially, sturdy, nonsense.
When you jump someone, do you remove that piece?
That's what I was thinking. But
But then you could just have an infinite loop of someone, just whatever someone. I don't know. I guess. Maybe, what if when you jump a piece, you can also put down another one? Like, let's say you don't remove that piece, but if you jump it, you can place another one. But you moved your piece to a different place, but now you can
put another one. Oh, I actually kind of like that, because you could technically jump someone then and put a piece behind you so that they could not jump you back on that immediate turn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you want to set yourself up so that you can place a piece down, but also if you do have the opportunity to jump, then...
Into a position where you would have a longer consecutive grouping of... interesting. What if you... I'm trying to think of, like, instead of, like, blocks, but what if, like, a game almost like a... what are any of the games where, like, things like stack? What if you could, like, jump on top of other pieces? But I guess that's kind of removing and jumping at the same time.
Oh, I don't know.
There's a lot of variations of play that you could come up with.
So if we're going to do that, then you should only be able to jump unless it's, like, one higher. You can't jump if there's two stacked up onto each other. You can't go from the ground level. And you have to jump from, like, a staircase. Yeah.
So this is like a multi-level, but of course it'd be whichever is represented on top is the most.
Yeah,
it could actually benefit you to jump down because then you could make a longer chain.
Yeah.
Or at least could potentially be in a longer chain, even though you'd be opening up one of your opponents.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could also jump on top of your other piece if you really want to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But well, that's actually, I could see that coming into play, because then you could effectively block your opponent from potentially jumping over
on
and
top
being
of it.
In a spot
yeah.
that, yeah, you okay. create a little barricade.
This is obviously, we have to call this like four-dimensional Connect Four, or I guess it wouldn't be Connect Four, but like four-dimensional Connectums.
Check four.
No, it has to have the title four-dimensional in it, because then it's really StarCraft, or not StarCrafty.
Star Wars.
Star Trekky.
Oh, Star, yeah, yeah, four-dimensional chess, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What if we just call it Star Trek Checkers?
Okay, that's actually way better. Star
Easy.
Star Checkers.
Oh, Star Trekkers.
Well, okay.
No, I like Star. Yeah.
Star Check. Like Star Trek, but just Star Check.
No, I like Star Checkers.
You like Star Checkers? Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Okay. That's fine. My other idea for Checkers, just on that, not even Connect Four rules, is what am I trying to say? You should also be allowed to incorporate other pieces. Like, you should also be allowed to have, like, a knight from chess on your side. You should be able to... Like, you've got a whole array. You should get one of those, you know, those Othello ones that can turn
yeah.
other colors. You
yeah.
should be able to have Othello pieces that if you use those, you can just flip all the other pieces to, like, your color.
I think how you incorporate that is you basically get a Yu-Gi-Oh! Style trap card system going as well. So, I don't know how
yeah,
it would work, but
right.
on your turn, you could play cards, and so that if someone jumped on that space that activated your trap card, it'd be like, uh-oh, I actually had my Othello there, and now
uh-huh.
we flip all of them in a line here, no matter what. And obviously, you'd try to put it where your opponent would be going, but yeah.
You've got, like, a risk mine that they don't know if it's a mine there. You've got not risk, no. What's Stratego? You got a Stratego,
yeah, Stratego
mine.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got risk pieces that you roll a dice to see if you do an attack.
Yeah.
And
you can fortify defend. your checkers or whatever with more little soldiers on top of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Making them more effective. Yeah.
I want all of the board games into one thing.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, I think you might be sitting too close to your mic because I keep hearing like a big gust of wind whenever you laugh.
Oh, that's just because my recording mic and my Discord mic are different.
Oh, so our viewers
They're
are not going to hear
mics.
That?
Yes.
Oh,
I hope so.
I'm getting the director's cut, viewers, listeners. Oh, that was a big gust of wind right there.
Yeah, see? Okay, I'll adjust my microphone.
No, you're
No,
hear it, I'm going to describe it to them every single time that I'm going through a wind tunnel. I'm not going to make you laugh this episode because it's just painful
yeah.
for me.
I'm sorry that I am expressing joy.
Hmm. Yeah, it's hurting
How
me.
How dare I?
Your joy is painful.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we fixed that game
yeah.
and basically made an entirely new one, now we're going to do it again. Except this time we're going to do it all our own.
Hell yeah.
No. Well... Actually, that's not true. Most of the time, we usually have a precursor, and then we kind of jump off of that. But regardless, it's going to be a new game.
A new game.
New stuff.
A new day.
Yes.
Can I throw a challenge out here for us?
Bring it.
Can we make one of those? I want to make, this time, a tactile board game. As in, like, you know that one that's like, don't break the ice? Or, like,
yeah.
there's another one that's, like... It's kind of cool. I don't even know what it is. I follow a bunch of board game things on my Instagram, and it's like this couple, and they play each other to see who will like clean up dinner. And they were playing this one. Yeah, it's very cool. They're playing this one where they put these pieces on like a teetering pirate ship, and whoever like makes the pirate ship fall over loses. It's like a quick game, but you know, I want to make our... We need more tactile games, like things of that nature.
Yeah, you want us to throw our hat into Jenga's ring.
Yeah, exactly. I want to kill Jenga once and for all. That guy is
no matter what. That's the title of the game, The Jenga Killer.
The Jenga, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, yeah. That's really like. Didn't like Xbox and PlayStation, didn't they have, I think it was PlayStation, they named one of their like upcoming consoles like the Xbox Killer.
Yeah, Well, I mean, every MMO that's ever come out, they're
the WoW killer.
Always, yeah, the WoW killer. Yeah. It's the WoW killer, everyone. It's coming. Here they come.
I know, right?
Murder World of Warcraft.
There was whatever the League of Legends card game was. That was going to be the Hearthstone killer. And I think it was called Rune Terra. It might even still be up, but I think it's still out. Yeah. Not a good game.
It did not kill Hearthstone. That's for sure.
No, it did not.
All right. So if we're going with something tactile,
that was a long pause. Okay. I didn't know if I lost you at all. Yes, keep thinking.
Hello? Anyway, no.
Oops.
If I were to, like, things that I like about tactile games, I get that this is, like, sometimes a big part of it, but I don't like a spook. I don't like the, like, I'm thinking specifically with that alligator game. Okay, also, that game hurts, but you know the one where you push down the teeth, and then it's randomly set, and if you push the wrong one, it chomps you? I don't want that.
So no alligator dentist game, and no,
well,
Wake Daddy.
Yeah, how about this? If we do have, because I think the most fun tactile games, I get it's like, there's, of course, always going to be some level of luck involved, but I think strategy needs to be, like, 90% of it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, again, if we look at successful ones, like Jenga, like, you could be someone that likes to take the middle piece all the time, but if you're someone that puts, like, a very precarious, you know, they take out the two side pieces down low, that makes for a very unstable base.
For sure. You're
kind of playing around that. So I
short
like...
Short game. Short like, Jenga game here, folks.
Oh yeah, I play the short game. I don't stick around when it comes to Jenga. but no, like stuff that more focuses on that. I mean, again, like your example where they're stacking on the pirate ship. Actually, I guess to finish this thought, my favorite one is the one. Do you know? I forget what it's called, but it's where all of the sticks are sticking through like a tube.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Drop.
That's Kerplunk.
Yeah. Kerplunk, okay, love that game, or at least I think that game is very cool.
It is a good game. Yeah, Kerplunk's up there for me. We can definitely we can go along those lines of it. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. Now I'm just thinking about Kerplunk, except what if Kerplunk was also like a 7-foot tube and you had multiple layers of it? That's another patch it up for a different day.
There we go. Okay, what if our game differentiates itself? Because, like these examples, you're either starting with something and deconstructing it, or taking something and adding to it until it breaks or reaches a breaking point. I want ours to have both a building and deconstructing element. So, like, the pirate ship one, you're adding to something until it tips over. Or Jenga, you're taking away blocks and, yes, putting them back on, but you're deconstructing the tower until it breaks. I want to have, like, imagine Jenga where there was a phase where you chose how the blocks were initially placed, and then you played the removal period.
Okay, I like that idea. Are we thinking, like, a tower or a wall? Because, I mean, like, a wall can be kind of fun to, like, knock down.
I think, yeah, I like a wall, and it's more tactile games. You know that it's not foosball, but that soccer game played with marbles? Okay, soccer? I'm gonna describe
it's not foosball? Shoot.
No, here we go. Here we
I'm
go.
I'm all out of ideas.
You and I would be standing on two sides of this basically half pipe of a big box like board thing or whatever.
Okay.
And then there's a bunch of holes in front of you and in front of me, and each hole leads to a track. The track then spits out onto a game board where there is a larger, like, soccer ball type thing, and then a goal, one on your side, one on my side. The objective is for both of us, or for a player, to drop marbles on the track so that they connect with the soccer ball and force it into the opponent's goal. But the opponent is also dropping their own marbles to hit the ball and force it into the other goal. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying. I mean, it sounds like now we're just, like, just now we're just like bringing up old games and be like, do you remember this one? Do you remember that game? It sounds like Spitfire. You have a gun, and you're shooting little marbles at a little thing that's kind of like air hockey, except you're shooting at it. Look up Spitfire. We had a Spitfire set.
I got it. It's Bocker Ball.
Bocker Ball. See, I've never heard of that.
Look this up. BOCCERBALL. Bocker Ball. It's really fun.
Oh.
So that's...
this is neat.
Yeah.
All right, now look up Spitfire.
Oh, there's an exclamation point.
Yeah, look, did you see how much fun those kids are having?
Well, I'm not seeing a video.
What? But, wait. No, is it not called Spitfire? Wait a minute. No, hold on.
Oh, I was about to say.
Crap, this isn't it. But it's something like... Nah, beans. Okay, we'll get back to it. We don't need to spend the rest of the time. But it is basically Bocker Ball, except instead of the marbles that you roll down, you get a gun and you're shooting you're shooting the disc to go to the other side.
Okay. So let's do it like this. I think we got a good idea of you're building some kind of wall, and the theming of it is that it's some kind of fortress that both players or multiple players, we'll figure that part out later, have. And it's obviously they want it to be the most sturdy, but then the gameplay action is that you're firing some kind of thing at your opponents, and I love, and this is kind of wants me to make it multiple players, not just two. I love a good, you know, social system of a game of just like, oh, shoot. You know, Sarah built a really, really strong wall, it looks like. We should target her first, because, you know, some alliances and betrayals and that, all kinds of stuff. Maybe there's multiple rounds, even, and, you know, you only get to launch a certain number, and then you have to pause, and then there's another, like, social, like, we call it, like, a tea time, where everyone gets to just kind of discuss amongst themselves on their strategy of the next round.
Yeah. Very much like... also, I figured it out. It's called Crossfire. That's the board game I was thinking of, but you don't need to look it up. I just wanted to correct that for the listeners. Okay, but...
There we go.
I love that idea. So there's a few ways that we can go about this. Everyone's playing at once. Massive board. 4 free-for-all.
Four-person free-for-all.
Yeah, 4-person free-for-all. Or we could do Mario Party, where you also have, like, a 1v3, where one person's the builder. I mean, you could also... We could incorporate this so you can play both ways if you want to. But I was thinking about how you said this character, Sarah, is, like, maybe really building it up. We gotta knock them down. You could do a version where there's just, like, one person who's the builder, and they build up their defenses, and maybe sometimes these defenses are like holes in the middle of like the board or something like that. Like, okay, all right, hold on. I'm going on a lot of tangents here. What if we did this? If we're like,
shoot,
we have for the version of the 1v3, the three players leave the room and they don't even see this arena that Sarah is building. And it's got trap doors, and it's got like some paths. Like, you get so many holes that will just like fall into it, and you don't even know what you're sort of going up against when you start like trying to like take this thing down. And obviously maybe there's like a hidden piece that is like the king that they're supposed to like knock over, but this board is maybe big enough so that you don't know where the king is hidden, and maybe there's some red herrings. Maybe there's like you're spending a lot of time trying to knock something down when in actuality the king isn't even behind some sort of massive tower that Sarah built. You know, that's kind of the version that I'm thinking of for at least the 1v3.
Okay. Here is what I think. Because I like the 1v3, and then, you know, you could do 2v2 and then a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
I think free-for-all is going to be the, obviously, the basis, let alone the hardest to conceptualize. So I think if we come up with a good free-for-all one, then like just being like, okay, and then 1v3, just the one person gets more and the three people get less. In a 2v2, it's just two sides against each other. But here's what I'm thinking of how it would look in a free-for-all is that...
Okay.
Yeah, one... Everyone would get their own, like... Like you're kind of saying, like, segments of a board. And this would probably be done in secret. So, you know, you could either honor system, turn away, or go into different rooms. Or however you want to try and do that. But the point is that people are building their own, I guess call it areas on their own. Then they come together, and I'm imagining interlocking pieces so that when everyone comes together, it's like... You would have it would be basically a square, so that everyone's squares would go together, and then you know you would have
So can we, when you lock them in, can we have a robotic voice say locked in, so that you know that you're ready to play and it's getting serious.
Maybe some lights even shoot up from the arena board itself.
Like, yeah, there's also maybe some steam, but that runs out fairly quickly within like the first few play sessions. So
well, and then you have to get the Patch Potch official dry ice to reload on.
It's not an official game unless you have the fog machine running within it.
No, yeah. Well, look, we're gonna just Apple-fy this. That you could go get your own dry ice if you want and shoot it out of a machine, but the Patch Potch official machine is only compatible with Patch Potch dry ice, and you have to get it from us and plug it in, or it's like it's a very specific input nozzle, and it only works with our thing.
Yeah,
we won't sell the rights to anyone. So yeah,
if you load up non-branded Patch Potch dry ice, it does not say locked in when you lock it in. And so then you never know if it's locked in or not.
Yeah. We'll make it so it'll just start dripping out the bottom. And then you have a real problem.
Yeah. But
okay. All right. So you got all the pieces locked in. I think because we're kind of proposing like castles and knights or something of that realm, I think you have, like you're saying, you have your royalty or whatever that you are protecting. And that's your defensive thing in the game, and then I think everyone has, if it's a four-person game, an equal number of quote-unquote knights. And I think I don't want it to be it needs to be like a tactile or like a physical thing, and maybe it is you're trying to like shoot a specific target, almost like I'm imagining almost like Bakker Ball, or at least like the game that you're describing, you're trying to drop a marble or something like that to hit a target in order for your knight to advance, right?
Your knight
advances every time, almost like at an amusement park or at a you know, boardwalk place or whatever. You have to hit a certain thing in order for your horse to go further. It's like the roll a ball. Yeah. So you're doing that. And whoever's obviously better, their knight is going further, faster. And I think, everyone gets three knights. I got this. Everyone gets three knights. The board will also probably have a target, and it might like just kind of go back and forth. One target for each knight for each person. So I guess 12 total. If my castle is directly across the board from yours, I want my middle knight, not my left or my right, but my middle knight to go the fastest and get to yours first. So I'm dropping my marbles down these tracks or whatever to hit the target consistently so that my knight goes further, faster, or whatever. Now, if you put it together that I might be a stronger player out of our other two opponents, your base building part, you would have a trap. So that when my knight got to a certain part on your side of the board, maybe like a spring pops out and my knight flies off the board. Then the kind of physical part of the game is that I have to then get up from the table and grab my knight and put him back on the track at the start of my castle and then start all over again on the siege to your castle.
Well, okay. Meanwhile. Here's the thing.
Yeah, go shoot.
So, I mean, what I was thinking about, I love the idea of building castles and... building castles and like taking them down and whatnot, but I don't know if a knight is like, it feels like it's too slow for the amount of time that I want this thing to be going. Because
you want it to be fast.
Some of the pieces I was thinking about, like imagine if there's like a spinner in the middle, that someone chose the spinner piece and they've got like a spinning kind of like I don't know. Like, imagine if it was marbles.
Deflecting stuff.
Yeah.
So you're launching the marbles at the castle.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. That is, I think, the more satisfying part of knocking something down is actually taking the wrecking ball and, like, knocking it down.
Got it. I like it.
So, I mean, we could just take, like, the idea of Bocker Ball and just say, like, yeah, you are putting just marbles down a chute. Or take the idea of, like, I don't know, like a slingshot that you're kind of like a rubber band and you're just kind of pulling it back and just letting them rip, like, constantly. But as you are knocking more and more parts of these walls down, let's just say this doesn't need to be the final board itself, but let's say in a way that it's 2v2, you have, like, a plus sign. And there's gonna be a crossfire. There's that name again of marbles going across this, like, board here. Basically you would have to, try to avoid the other player's marbles, but then also, like, try to knock down the other person's castle. Now the one thing that I am struggling with though is trying to figure out how exactly you're gonna be shooting these marbles, without hitting your own stuff. There's a few ways that you could do this, where you shoot a marble underneath your castle, and then it goes up a ramp, and then it flies over and then tries to hit another person's castle from there. Does that make sense?
It does. I like the I was actually also thinking of the multi-tiered thing. I think what it would be is that, yeah, you have tracks along the quote-unquote, like, main area, and that's where you kind of play your defensive stuff, or that's where you'd have, like, again, like, if you want to make a really strong wall from the left player, or from the left side, but then you have some just objects or, like, things on the tracks or something like that to block the right side that someone would have to shoot through in order to get to start to penetrate your wall or whatever, then conversely, to protect yourself, or, like, on that side, you could also maybe have, like a on the tower would be, like, maybe, like, a ramp attachment, so that if you dropped a marble in your tower, it would skip a lot of the stuff that you would have blocking or whatever, and then go on the track and just kind of jump over. So it would be, like, a little bit more of, like, an offensive advantage on that side.
For sure.
The last thing that I was thinking of, one even crazier thing. I mean, this toy essentially is all got all kinds of bits and bobs, but that's where I think the fun is in the chaos of trying to track everything and make sure that you got everything going. What if in the middle too, like, the piece that you attach to, maybe it's not all the four corners attached, but it's like I'm imagining this board being a huge, like, circle or square or something with kind of a plus side, so you've got, like, some arms off of it, and that's where you slide your base in.
Yeah.
But the middle of it has all of the tracks, and each player has on both sides of them, on the arms, a rotate right and a rotate left for both sides of it, and they can rotate the tracks. So, like,
you could be sending a
marble down the...
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
And they always sync up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like if let's say I'm sending a bunch of marbles down the middle, but I have, like, right at the end of my track, I rotated it so that it's pointing right now. Well, now the person to my right needs to be ready to either rotate their track or send marbles down that way to defend themselves or something like that, to then be like, oh, shoot, like, he's not sending marbles directly at me. They're coming around and curving towards me through the middle. And then you've got all kinds of people rotating things back and forth and coming at you from different angles.
Yes.
That's how I would pitch, like, this constant action.
I like that idea, because then on the fly, you can, like, take out a weaker opponent, like, oh, most of this guy's stuff is down. I'm actually going to just get him out of here. And adapt or, like, make truces or something like that to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like that idea.
Like, that was one of the big things, or at least, again, about Bocker Ball, is that you're shooting the marbles across, but the thing about it is that the more marbles, if you want to try and shoot a bunch of marbles all at once, they end up going into the other player's side so that they have all the marbles.
If you didn't score, then
they get the marbles. So, like, if someone's, like, heavily focusing someone, maybe you could, like, send yours to, like, you know, knock, or at least try to block and knock marbles off track and try to maybe ricochet them into someone's, you know, who you have an alliance with, and then they have an opportunity to really overload and fire back at mm-hmm. whoever was just firing at them.
Well, I mean, I think that this game should come with at least, like, 1,000 marbles, at least. I don't think that there should be a shortage of marbles for it, but I do understand what you're saying, that... Well, I mean, even more, how cool would it be is just, like, in the middle of the match, someone just takes, like, a Beyblade and just, like, lets it rip, and it's just, like, a special ball, you know? Like, you just get, like, every single person gets some sort of special, I don't know, like, defense or offensive weapon that they can, that they can employ, and... Like, all right, I'm using my Beyblade, and then they just, like...
I think what you're proposing is another button on these arms that something pops up out of the table and, you know, starts spinning around like crazy.
Well,
something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It just adds another element of craziness.
Well, I think as well, like, with some of these things, like, this arm that is spinning around and, like, knocking balls away, I think should also be, like, easily detached. Like, if you hit it, like, right in the center, like, you can just knock it down, and then, like, a few more balls later... it will be, like, pushed off into, like, the debris zone, which is something that I'm imagining is, like, kind of like these lanes off to the side, like a gutter ball, like in bowling, where all of the knockdown pieces would go. So, you know, as strong as the rotating arm is, maybe that's, like, a special defense, but, like, if you have, like, I don't know, like, a rolling log trap, and then you just, like, stand up over the board and just, like, unleash, like, a bunch of rolling logs, you know, that...
just jam it up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have multiple ways, but each player would only get, like, one special attack or defense thing that they can pick.
Yeah. This is going to be a heavy lift from the engineering department.
It will be, yes. I'm going to rely on them to think of... I mean, they're just going to... It's just, like, standard... You know, I think this marble needs to be launched at somewhere around, like, 20 miles per hour. You know, it just needs to... The building blocks themselves, they don't need to be, like, super thick. But, yeah there's going to need to be some mechanics in there. Unless it's just, like, another player who is rotating, has a crank underneath the table, and is just cranking the arm. But then they can't shoot any marbles while they're cranking. Unless they can do it one-handed, you know? So, that's another thing to think about. Is manually operated defenses... when there's a lot of things flying at you at once.
Yeah. You know those like, those crazy, like, one-person band instruments where it's, like, you have to, like, drum it with your feet crank something with your hand, and then you're also, I don't know, squeezing something with the other, and you're blowing into a tube or whatever? I'm imagining, like, that level
of complexity,
buttons and bits and bobs and all kinds of different stuff.
It's the version...
Like, you can play the game...
Go ahead.
No.
You can
play the game very simply. You could just play the marble game, and that's fine. And if you're very good and keeping track of where things are going, that's great. But I want the true pro level people at this game. I mean, they're gonna look, you know, possessed with how much they're just flailing around and.
I was gonna say this sounds like crap. This sounds like the Super Smash Bros. Version of playing with items on. And just, like, those who know, who can handle the chaos will reign. And those who are just, like, new to the game will just get, like, absolutely smoked with all of the different sort of buttons and gadgets. This is a tactile game to the extreme.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. we'll start either an expansion or maybe the game just does come with it. But there will be an olfactory sensor, too. And it smells like a battlefield of marbles and dry ice.
Yeah. I was thinking about, like, what the name of this... I mean, I know we're jumping ahead, but, like, this would be
fine.
Funny to just, like, think if this game was just called, like Pickleball Year 3099 or something like that.
I mean, I think this thing is pretty well wrapped up. When it comes to, like, the 1v3 and the 2v2, again, I imagine 2v2 is just... you attach them, you know, just facing your opponent or whatever. Or, I mean, heck, you could even do 2v2 where your opponents are on the sides and you're across from your teammate. It doesn't really matter how you do it.
You get multiple options.
Yeah. 1v3, I think, like, it would be basically half of... because what would that be? That would be... math. No, a third of each of the three players' supplies, so to speak.
Yeah, goes to the one player.
The singular player. Yeah. So that they can essentially be, you know, the on the same quote unquote power level, mm-hmm. maybe even more, just because it's one person, so they should have more supplies because they're managing more.
Well,
and firing
I think
more at people.
Yeah, I think yeah they would still have the ability to defend and shoot marbles back at their
right,
opponents,
right.
But there's just nothing that they're knocking down, and that's more of like a time trial to see how long you can survive.
Oh, okay, I like that. I like that version. Maybe this game comes with, it comes with so much other stuff. It comes with a timer now too.
Yeah,
so that you can play this version.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a digital clock. It's a really bulky digital clock. It's not like a sand timer. It is. This is the future of gaming. This
and
is
it
the future.
It doesn't
of board
charge.
Gaming. It doesn't.
It doesn't charge. You have to buy another Patch Potch official clock in order to sync it up to your game.
Or dry ice. It does run on dry ice, so you can. You can load it up with dry ice if you want to. But only Patch Potch dry ice.
I don't know why, but I love that. This clock runs on dry ice.
It's constantly steaming.
It's so inefficient.
That's how you know when it's almost out of batteries, is because the dry ice starts like evaporating.
Yeah, well, it's the time starts to get wonky because it starts to drip into itself and it starts to mess with the electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
both have to re-up on dry ice and replace your clock because it's breaking itself.
Yeah. It's the only way that it works, though. It is portable. Yeah. You don't need an electrical outlet for it. So
yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
it's
that's
easy
true.
To move around, you know?
Yeah. We actually have a easy ease of no hassle clock that it doesn't rely on, you know, physical bits and bobs.
Yeah.
It's
so you can
electronics.
Play pickleball 3099 at the beach or at a park. It's so you can take it other
yeah.
places or whatever this game is
yeah.
called.
Exactly. Well, with all that said, do we want to do a name?
Yeah,
Name this sucker.
Let's do a name. It should probably be extreme. It should probably be
something extreme indoor or definitely. Yeah, I like when we do this when we're like talking about like okay, like I want to invoke or evoke. I forget what the correct word is, but like essentially
invoke.
Is it not evoke when you're trying to give a feeling? Because I know that is it invoking? I don't know. We're just going to really voke the crap out of this game.
Whatever we're doing, we're voking about it.
Yeah. So, but yes, I wanted to convey, is probably a better word.
Okay.
Intensity and extreme and maybe a little bit of like the chaos. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
wrap
classic
that into
mousetrap.
It. Oh, for
it's
sure.
It's a zany action. A crazy contraption.
I love that. Mouse Trap 2.
Yeah. Mouse Trappist.
Yeah, I mean, we could go something along the lines. Yeah, like, chaos is a good thing to, you know, bring
convey.
Into. Yeah.
Hecticness.
There's, like, traps and stuff into it.
Yeah.
There's action. There's building. You know, it should be like, and I don't think we need like a mascot to go off of, because I think this game speaks for itself. It is just like, what we could also do is really try to reach out and grab some of the pro gamers and stuff like that, and try to bring them in, like name this thing like Mountain Dew G Fuel presents. You know, something of that. You remember that one game that was supposed to be the Overwatch killer, and it was made by, I forget what even the game was called, but they really, like, pumped the hell out of it, being like, this is not a casual game. If you want to play as, like, a healer, like, get out of here. I forget what it was, but...
I don't remember this, but man,
it
sounds intense.
It lasted literally, like, it was made by some, I mean, he's a douchebag in the gaming industry. I think it was made by the guy who made Gears of War. No, maybe it's not that. Doesn't matter. I already forget the name of it. Doesn't matter. But we should try to do something to really appeal to the pro gamers and say, this isn't a kid's game. This isn't even a teen's game. This is your lightning fast reflexes put to the test. And you will cry at the end of this, win or lose.
What if, okay, so like we really 90s campaign, or I guess early 2000s, verb the heck out of it. And similar to like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, we call it like, you know, like Marble Crash Bash or like, you know, something, or, yeah, just something along those lines, but like literally like just verbs in the Crash Bash Smash Outlast. All right. Like, I don't know, like something like
that. I got you. So it's all about building things and destroying things. So we call it like destruction. Mm-hmm. We call it Destructioneers, which it's like engineers, but like destroyers too. So
that's really, Destructioneers is definitely in there.
Okay.
I mean, do we want to add like a like Destructioneers colon marble crash marble.
Well, in this,
Marble Castle Crashers.
Okay, good game though. It should be in their world, the Destructioneers, if they were the size of like these tower, because the box art should definitely have like people on them and a giant cannonball. I think that these aren't, it's not marbles. It's cannons firing at each other. It's
that's
like
a good one.
Destructioneers, like cannonball gun. So the cannonball run.
Honestly, maybe we just go with Destructioneers. That is such a powerful word.
it is. Thank you. I mean, you could do something along the lines of like, you know, like throwing words like Operation Destructioneers or like Code Red Destructioneers. You know, some random like military term.
I think let's go with Destructioneers, and then if anything, all these things that we're proposing are like the what is it, motto or whatever, the tagline of the box, you know, crash, like you know when you flip the box over and like it's got like usually just like, again, like one word, but like I guess it has four words in a line, you know, down to kind of convey the idea of it, and like, yeah, it would be like with like some pop art like behind it, like crash bash smash, like, you know, and be like, in Destructioneers, you're really riding the fucking rails. And it says it too, this game is rated M.
Yeah, this game is rated X. There's boobs on the box for no reason. There's just a naked woman there for some reason.
Well, I was about to say, a la 80s, it definitely has a, you know, the innuendo part, and we have, you know, a scantily clad man and woman that are running away from the cannons. And,
yeah.
You know.
It's just gratuitous. It is over the top. It is not your mama's game.
It says that on, that's a tagline too. Easy.
What if that was the name? Destructioneers colon not your mama's game.
I mean, I really like that too. You are creative lead on the title at this point, so if you like it, then I will defer to you and say yes.
I mean, that's, we don't need to have it, but it is kind of funny to put in the title of Destructioneers.
Maybe it's like a lot of Patchbox games, this one comes with like 10 different taglines and here we go. Because of course this will also be an expensive game, but for the pro people or the collectors, we send out like 10 different boxes of both box art and taglines.
Yeah,
like it's all the same game every single time.
Stuff. Yeah. Just like a
exactly.
Comic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. This is the alternative cover or the, you know, yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What they call it. But yeah, so you've got multiple different covers and stuff like that.
Okay.
And again, yeah. This is a rude toed kind of game.
It is.
Says right in the box, shove it.
If you don't like it, you can shove it up your ass. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, whatever we name this, you'll figure it out on the actual, I guess, list of the podcast.
Well, Destructioneers.
Oh yeah,
Destructioneers.
No, Destructioneers, but whatever tagline that we add to it, yeah, you'll figure out from there. So, let's just go with just Destructioneers, and throw everything else on there.
Yeah, when you pick up your copy, you'll know obviously which tagline you got, and then you can peruse and see, you know, all the different taglines that people will be posting all over the internet promoting their copy of Destructioneers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is perfect. So
perfect.
So as far as,
and
like,
then they show their butt.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has to. No, you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to.
So for who goes first,
yes,
there's a few things that, because obviously this is like all happening simultaneously when you do like
correct
combat, but we can have, yeah, a way of like who goes first in terms of like maybe we have some sort of advantage of like who gets more marbles in their stash depending on this rule, you know, because I feel like we should still have something of like a who goes first or who gets an advantage, you know.
I feel like that comes out of more, I don't, because I liked what you said, that there's like this game comes with thousands of marbles that, you know, it's not
you're never
about
gonna run out
your, yeah, it's not about your rate. I mean, obviously rate of fire does matter, but everyone could potentially have the same rate of fire if they're just shoveling marbles in. But where the like the strategy of the game comes down to is where you're funneling those marbles and how you're changing the track and stuff. I don't think that is a shortage. I think who goes first is what, again, something that you were saying earlier, where you get these power-ups or, like, power-ups to choose.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You get to choose which, yeah, items you want. Yeah, if you want the spinny arm,
yes,
then, okay, that's a good idea, for sure. So, okay.
Yeah, if you get that or you get, I don't know, maybe, like, maybe there are, like, some stronger blocks or something like,
mm-hmm,
that, and you get advantage because you got those or whatever. Maybe I'm even proposing, like, yes, you would pick first, but almost like a snake draft where, you know, it would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1,
yep,
in terms of picking different stuff. But, yeah, that is how I would propose of the quote-unquote who's first.
I like that idea. That's a good idea. And then they get the first pick of whatever, yeah, like items if they want to pick an offensive power if they want to,
yeah,
pick a defensive one. Yeah, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, who goes first?
Man, I mean, as much as this is a tactile game, do we want to go that the who goes first is, like, you set up, like, a base board and, like one at a time, each player gets to try and, like, or maybe it's this. Maybe you get to show off a little bit of your skill, but each player only gets one marble and they try to knock down as much of this, quote-unquote, just, like, generic, you know, setup that the game shows.
Mm.
So you set it up and then someone launches it and, you know, however they can do it with manipulating the board and all these different things or whatever,
yeah,
whatever they can do in order to hit the most or knock the most down, they get to go first.
Yep. And this is where that timer would come into play, because you would need to time it.
Oh yeah, you only have a certain amount of time in order to get the board how you want,
yep,
and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and there's no power-ups or anything. It's the base blocks, it's the base marbles, it's, you know, it's just strictly who is better at it, you know, who can get basically the furthest with this like general setup.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Well, cool. Yeah, and I nice. Like that idea. Otherwise, I would thought it would be really funny to make like these pro players do something like really silly, like I don't know, like who can juggle the most marbles, but like that's probably not a, you know, if there's a tie between like the times of knocking down whatever, then you do juggling the most marbles.
I mean, maybe hold on. Okay, so do we want to, if the game is entirely tactile, do we want to have a little bit of a reverse that like who goes first is based off of something completely totally different, or at least just, you know, completely off base of that? Because sometimes I actually like that when we come up with that kind of idea. Like, it might still be relevant to the theme of the game, but it's not how the game is played.
I guess, yeah. Maybe it's something along the lines of, like battles. Like, who's got the most battle history? And it's all questions on, like, the War of 1812, or, you know...
It's just specifically trivia about the War of 18. We're going to make that war the most popular war.
Yeah,
to,
or that, or like the 7-year war, or like just anything like that. Any sort of battle that you can think of. But I like your idea too. Maybe we let the players, we include both options, but we let the players choose who, you know, how which rule set that they want to do.
You know what we should do to make it even more obscure? If we want to keep it to lesser known real world historical wars, but then also be like, who won or who fired the first arrow at the Battle of Helm's Deep?
Like, yeah.
Fictional stuff.
Yeah,
there too.
Any battle at all. Yeah. It's going to have the Battle of Hoth. It's going to have, the Seven Years' War. It's going to have the Revolutionary War. It's going to have, Helm's Deep. Everything.
Fight that happened in Mulan. All of the above.
Yep, every single battle that you could ever think of is going to have a question in there.
Yes, pertaining to it.
Yep.
So, yeah, get ready. Study up.
Study up, losers.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on this extreme, in-your-face journey as we create the world's next best tactile game. We have been Miss Dunn Needs More Games. You can find us on Twitter. I refuse to say X at PatchPotchR&D. And for any professional inquiries, you can email us at PatchPotchLLC. That's all.
That's us. Yeah. Send us your extreme questions. Send us your non-extreme questions. I'm not going to promise you they might get deleted if they're not extreme enough.
Yeah, seriously. Or we'll just have a one-word response of just extreme.
Yeah.
And, fuck yeah. One word.
Yeah, just one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get at us. We'll be waiting, but not to fight or anything like that, because we don't do that.
No, not us.
That's not a good thing to do.
But
we'll take you on, and we'll take you on in destruction.
Yeah, that's how we'll fight. Yep, that's what I was gonna say.
Easy. Do you have a tagline? Or an outro?
No, just besides. I did have one. I was just gonna end with I'm gonna kick everyone's ass, but that sounds really threatening and. This is how much of a version of violence Nick and I have, because I couldn't even say I'm gonna kick your ass without even feeling good about it. It's just like, no.
Here we go.
That's just
I got
too
it.
Mean. Go ahead, Nick.
I'm gonna kick your ass in Destructioneers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.